Hello. Yes, I'm coming, am I? Yes. Jan, be sure to tell me when I have one tune to go, because I don't have a watch with me. Well, let's see. I'll just play a few tunes and talk a little. I'm unfortunately cursed with this desire to let people learn something, this teacher in me that won't stay put so that I can just make music. So I'll talk a little bit in between tunes here. But don't worry, a tune isn't very far away. Or if you don't like the music, actually, don't worry, a story is not very far away. So here's a tune called, I learned this tune from my mentor, Henry Reed. And Henry Reed was in his 80s, in the 60s, when I was visiting him. And he lived along the New River, right where it cuts over from Virginia into West Virginia. I don't know if any of you know that area of Virginia and West Virginia, but that's where he lived. He grew up in that area. Never went far from there, never made records or played professionally, but he had a huge repertory of great tunes, and he played them wonderfully. And so he was everything a young tyke like me could hope for a mentor. So this is a nice, simple tune that he played, but it's a good way for me to warm up and see if those fingers are stuck together or not after the barbecued chicken. It's a tune called Cabin Creek. It's one of many tunes in the Appalachians that are named after creeks and rivers. They all sort of start at the top of the tune, all of them, these creek and river tunes, and they sort of cascade down the same way a creek or river cascades down. It's really interesting. And there are a whole class of tunes in the Appalachian region. So this is one of them, Cabin Creek. Some people call this tune Barlow Knife, but he called it Cabin Creek. Cabin Creek runs into the Kanawha River. The new river becomes the Kanawha River, which runs into the Ohio. And Cabin Creek runs into it. There was a famous coal strike there in the early part of the century. But this tune, I think, is not about the strike. It's about the creek. It's a tune in A, and it's in what the fiddlers call the minors. It sounds sort of minor key-ish in its overall sound. It's a tune called Ducks in the Pond. I heard it originally from a fellow named Oscar Wright. Oscar was in his 70s during that same period when I knew him. He lived in Princeton, West Virginia, and he learned a lot of these tunes from Henry Reed. And so when I first met Oscar, he was telling me about this guy, Henry Reed, that he learned from. And I thought it was some fellow that he learned from when he was young, who was long gone. So Oscar says, oh, no, he says, he's still around. He says he lives down in Glen Lynn, so he gave me directions, and I went and visited Henry Reed. He played the tune, too, a little different from Oscar. It's funny, fiddle players never learn tunes exactly like their mentors, and I unfortunately follow this pattern. I tried to learn it like Henry Reed, but this me part keeps sticking itself in there despite me. And so anyway, this is Henry Reed's version of a tune called Ducks on the Pond. Beautiful tune, one of the first tunes I heard. Oscar Wright used to talk about these tunes that Henry Reed played in the minors. He says, makes the hair stand right up on the back of your head. And he'd run his hands through his hair, take his old railroad hat off and run his hands through there. Makes the hair stand right up on your head. This was an expression of the aesthetic response. It was really interesting. And a lot of fiddlers use that expression to describe that sort of pure aesthetic response where you hear something so beautiful that it gives you the shivers, you know. So that's the way the fiddlers talk about it. So here's a... Pretty tune. Thanks. There's a tune that's pretty well known in the South called Rocky Mountain Goat, actually in Missouri and other places in the Midwest and North too. Most people play it in two parts, and I swear they leave out the Rocky Mountain Goat part, but this is just my imagination. Now, I leave it to you. You won't hear a goat where I see a little goat hopping around there. But I once had the experience along the Missouri River in Montana of seeing some Rocky Mountain goats sort of hopping around from rock to rock vertically. And there was kids as well as a mother goat. And it was sort of, you hold your breath and you think, oh, my God, those little kids are going to fall. Because you relate to a goat kid just like you do to a human kid. At that moment, you're holding your breath. But they're just nonchalantly jumping from little ledge to little ledge. And, you know, that's their natural habitat. And so, well, maybe it's my imagination, but I think that this third part that nobody else plays but Henry Reed is the Rocky Mountain Goat part of Rocky Mountain Goat. It's a lovely tune. He learned it from Quince Dillon. Quince Dillon was born in 1810, was a fifer in the Mexican War, and taught Henry Reed tunes when Henry Reed was a kid, and Quince Dillon was 90. And I learned from Henry Reed when Henry Reed was 80 and I was a kid. And so, you know, you think of somebody born at 1810, you know, grew up on the old frontier of the Appalachians, you know, in the 1820s and 30s, and was in the Mexican War. That seems like a whole different world from our world. But there was only one person between me and Quince Dillon. So, anyway. Let's see, I don't know if I'm ready for the Stern stuff, but let me try something fast and see if I can play it or not. And if I can't, I'll just stop. So this is a tune that I learned from Henry Reed called George Booker. George Booker, actually the tune was originally a Scottish Strathspey, and it first appeared in tune books in Scotland around 1800, and it was called The Marquis of Huntly's Farewell. Now, I've studied a lot of these fiddle tunes that sort of made it from the British Isles to America, and you can make it a rule of thumb that if the tune made it, the lords and ladies whose names were attached to it got pitched overboard. You know, I mean, nobody, they didn't want to hear about these lords and ladies, but it's a good tune, you know. So the Marquis of Huntly got pitched overboard. Farewell, Marquis of Huntly. And it got renamed after a minor local hero in the Revolution, George Booker, who was a Virginian, and it was very popular in Virginia and central and southern Virginia and southwestern Virginia, over into West Virginia. It got renamed in the Civil War in West Virginia. There was a fellow who played it in Camp Chase, where there was a Union camp, and this fellow, Solomon Carpenter, played George Booker in a fiddler's contest to win his freedom out of the camp. It was a Union camp, and they were all Confederate, captured Confederates. So he won his way out by playing Camp Chase, which he renamed George Booker, which he then called Camp Chase. And so a bunch of people call the same tune, or a variant of it, Camp Chase. But I'm getting to give you too much history here. That's just because I'm scared of playing this hard tune. Great tune, actually. I'm going to do, if I have one more tune, I won't show you this then. Too much teaching. Let's see. I'll play you a tune, another Scottish tune that Henry Reed played. It's usually a two-part tune, and it's called Money Musk. Actually, it was the Earl of Money Musk's reel, but you know about that, right? So the Earl got pitched overboard. Money Musk, as the little village name, did survive. It's up in northeastern Scotland. And so people that play this tune in North America do call it Money Musk. They don't know what the heck Money Musk is, but they call it that because it's Money Musk. And it's usually a two-part tune. It usually, like most British tunes, starts on the low part and then it goes to the high part. Henry Reed does a typical Appalachian thing. He starts on the high part and then goes down to the low part, but then he goes on to add a third part, and then there's a fourth part. And so it was like he was actually in different recordings, he played it with two parts and three parts and four parts. I think he was almost composing it as he went along or something. I don't think he was really I'll never know. But I did have this feeling that it was becoming a kind of a tone poem instead of a fiddle tune. Thank you. Thank you.